The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. We're just entering the second hour of Immunize Wisely, and before we continue with my guest, I had a couple of little announcements I missed at the beginning because I wanted to bring on my guest, but I did get the book in, The Truth About COVID-19, Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine Passports, and the New Normal, Why We Must Unite into a Global Movement for Health and Freedom by Dr. Joseph McColl and Ronnie Cummins, with a foreword by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And it's really well done. It's really tight. I know people were really bummed when McColl started taking down his website. I mean, that was, 20 years worth of accumulated excellence.
25.
Thank you, Roger, for correcting me on that. I know it was at least 20, but yeah, it was a wealth of information. So I was just, begging him, please, just put it onto several hard drives because we don't know what the future will hold.
How about if you get him and teach him this stuff and have him file an affidavit where the FDA can't threaten him anymore because he's not a resident under the 14th Amendment and he can put everything back up there? How about that?
I would like to see that. That sounds good to me. But in the meantime, he fell for it.
He hadn't filed an affidavit. He doesn't know this information. He's still under that pressure and under that jurisdiction. He had to do it.
We need to do it. So anyway, I got all these books in, and I wanted to remind everyone that for a $25 donation that includes shipping and handling, I'll go ahead and mail you this book. We do have it posted in this book. This is a $24.95 retail hardbound book. $24.95 is what's on the cover. And it's a hardcover with a jacket and everything. It's very nice. It's solid. They're excellent writers. It's well footnoted. You can share it with someone that's not awake, which is great. Get it in your library, whatever. But I went ahead and got a case of 20. So, if you were to buy it right from VacLib.org under miscellaneous, there's our books and tapes for sale. We have it posted, but you'll end up paying $27 because it's listed for $25, but we're selling it for $20. But then you add shipping and handling, that makes it $27. And then, of course, PayPal takes out a chunk. And so anyway, you can either mail me a $25 donation in a check form. The address is on our website, or you can just hit the donation button for $25, and I will go ahead and mail you out this excellent book. So I just want to encourage people to do that because you're supporting the tireless work we're doing right now. We're just trying to finish our exemption pages by state. We're about all done. I mean, Dewey's been putting lots of time into, updating. It's an annual chore. For all the U.S. citizens out there that are, wanting the regular stuff for putting their kids into school, even though I don't recommend it, just the exemption information. And there's so many reasons why you don't want to send your kids to school. One of the first things is that in their forms, hidden in every single school I've seen for the last, at least 10 years, is a form where you sign medical power of attorney over to the school. So what's the point of exemption rights when the school has medical power of attorney and you've given it to them so they could vaccinate your kid at school and you have no legal recourse? So there's no point in exemptions, frankly, if you send your kid to school and you just sign forms without reading them and understanding them. So status. So back to Roger with that little commercial.
I'm sorry. I can't help but interrupt. All that crap you just went over is policy. It's called public policy. Okay, it took me years to figure out what public policy is, because they refer to it all the time. Public policy is man-made laws through the administrative state and administered to the voluntary serfs, the residents and the citizens of the United States under the 14th Amendment. If you're not one of those, none of that CRAP applies to you. And what you need to do is educate yourself, start the re-empowerment process, which is what this path does, is re-empower you with God's laws that you were supposed to have from birth that got stolen from you back then. And then you've been conditioned throughout your whole life to think and act like a slave and be a slave. And you got to break out of that, okay? And some people can't do it, all right? And some people aren't meant to do it, unfortunately. But some people are, and I hope the ones that are being reached by this, and maybe he reaches out and touches you and grabs you a little bit and shakes you, okay? Because you don't have to do that. But you do have to learn something. You got to learn to think again. You got to learn the wiles of the enemy. And as Judge Learned Hand said, probably one, he may not have been the greatest judge ever produced in the federal system, but he damn sure had the greatest name, Judge Learned Hand, okay? And he said, to claim one's rights, one must be a belligerent claimant. And if you don't know the information, you can't get up there and defend your position. Now, can you?
No, absolutely okay. not.
So there, your freedom is in the knowledge. It's not in the paper. The paper's your diploma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I just, in 10 years, 11 years, 10 and a half years, however long it's been helping people do this, I have no idea how many people have done it, okay? My thought is it's a couple hundred thousand, probably more, all right? And I'm justified in that. I won't go into the reasons why now. But I can tell you this. I have no idea who all sent that stuff in, okay? But I do know this. If anybody had problems with it, I'd more than likely be one of the first people to hear about it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I've never heard one single piece of blowback in over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they have done occasionally is they'll throw out this, what I've affectionately come to call a bluff letter. Mm-hmm. Just in the letters are all cut and paste, so they're different, but the first paragraph's always the same. And it says, it appears by what you've submitted that you're a citizen of the United States, and it quotes the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on and said, blah, 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 except by operational law. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people answer that a number of ways. They've always gotten what they were paid for, their documents and their passport. But how about this? Let's go back to the 14th Amendment, and let's quote it and look at it just a little bit here before we move
mm-hmm.
forward. It's real important, like it runs the world, okay? Like all
mm-hmm.
persons born, those three words right there,
mm-hmm.
all persons born runs the world. And this is a tip for you researchers out there that I've stumbled on, hit me one day like a ball peen hammer upside the head, okay? And when I said, holy smokes, they put the hooks right at the front of everything. And I could quote you four or five different examples. They always put the hook at the front. This is power and how they operate, okay?
Okay.
And you've got a volume full of stuff that you're looking at, and you're long past the first paragraph or page, and they've already got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all persons born and all persons born and naturalized, right? But it's that born part, because the naturalized people do it voluntarily. You, as a young baby coming out of your mama's womb, didn't stick your hand up and say, I want to be a birthright citizen, Captain. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
It was assigned to you at birth.
No.
Okay,
right.
And that's where the rub is right when you come out of mama's birth canal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, are all persons born or naturalized in the United States? Well, which United States?
Well,
I mean, go back to Law sure. Black's Law Dictionary, and it says, well, this term has several meanings. Really? It has several meanings? Well, I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm.
All persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And. Now, let me reread this. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It doesn't say that, does it? It says and. So there's something that makes you subject to the jurisdiction thereof, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if that happens and you fit that born or naturalized, then you are a citizen of the United States, and therefore, when you reside in a state, you're one of them too. You're a state citizen, but the qualifier is you got to reside there. That's why you get asked the question. Okay. Now, there's about six or seven legal landmines in that sentence. We don't have time to go into them now, but I wanted to get that out of the way, okay? Because now I'm going to ask you, Ingrid, I'm going to ask you two questions you've been asked all your life. I'd ask you to answer them how you've always answered them. Is that fair?
Well, I never say I'm a resident or I reside somewhere. I just say this is where I live. I know that one.
Well, what doesn't make any difference, okay? Because there's a group of books in the law library called Words and Phrases. And it takes all these important words and stuff out of court cases, and they condense them for you, where you can go to whatever the word or the phrase is and see all these different places they looked at it and how it fits contextually, you know.
Okay.
And so if you go look at resident, one of them says, whenever this word is used in a legal sense, its meaning is always legal. So it doesn't really matter what you say, except yes or no. Okay. So the first one, obviously, is, are you a citizen of the United States? And you've always answered?
Not always, but I have in the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, I say no.
Okay, what happened? Okay, what happened? Because I know, here's what happens. When you answer it the negative, well, the clerk doesn't know. They just know they're supposed to ask it, and you're supposed to answer it. They don't know what the significance is, okay? And so, anyway, well, most people answer yes, okay? And most people you're ever going to put this in front of will tell you yes. All right. And so what they're really being asked is, are you in the political status of a black former slave on the plantation who was put on the federal plantation, assigned civil rights, and given federal citizenship called constitutional rights? That's what they're really asking you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've answered yes most of your life. And then they're going to ask you the other question, resident. And I'm going to tell you what that means, but before I tell you that, I'm going to say either one and both, you always had to sign something. So when they just ask you the questions, it was on some type of a legal form where they had you sign and admit your signature to it, keeping your voluntary servitude and okaying their fraud. So the second question is, are you a resident? And you say, well, yeah, man, I just live right over there. My house, I just painted it last week. Isn't it pretty? Okay.
Right.
Well, that's not what they're asking, all right? And you don't have to go to a law library to get this. You can go to Webster's Dictionary, okay? Collegian. And the first definition says the act or fact of living or dwelling in a place for some time. And the second one says the act or fact of living or dwelling in a place for some time. For the receipt of a benefit or the discharge of a duty. That's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Benefits and duties make a connection that's called jurisdiction, which means I've got the right to make these laws and enforce them on little old you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you answered that question yes, you're telling them that the laws of Washington, D.C. apply to you because you're a federal citizen. Not a state citizen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, I got my constitutional rights, you do. You got a parcel full of them. They're called civil rights. And they come from the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, and they're nothing but privileges that have been assigned to you and can be taken away. Now, what's happening here is at birth, they are assigning you that status under the 14th Amendment. They have, in their own parlance, they call it a birthright citizen or birthright citizenship. Okay. Mm-hmm. Return to the anchor babies, birthright citizenship. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is when you come out of mama's womb, and we've got one of our guys had both of his daughters born in the same hospital in Austin, Texas. And he actually went in there and got them to admit this information. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. This is the process. When you come out of mama's womb, there is a piece of paper there called a verification of facts, a VOF. And on that piece of paper, they've got your height, your weight, how much you weigh, your color, your eyes, color, your hair, probably your finger, little handprint, little footprint on there. And there's a place at the bottom where mom and dad can sign it, but mom and dad never sign it. It's taken over to a computer that's placed in every hospital in the country by the federal government that uses an old DOS type system with like all caps. And they type all the information in there, and then it is forwarded over to a department, another agency called the Bureau of Vital Statistics. When it is received there, your birth certificate is printed out. Guess what happens to the birth certificate then, Ingrid?
It goes to the Department of Treasury.
How about if it goes into a bank safe with armed guards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Well, that could happen too.
Well, no, it does happen.
Okay.
All right. Why would it do that?
Well, you tell me. I mean, I'm going to let you be the expert.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I think, what my teacher thought was going on, and all these years later, and he's long gone. I think that's exactly what's going on, because he was a real smart guy. And he thought it was doubling. They always double, you know. They like to cover both sides, right? And so one thing that the birth certificate does is it identifies you as to who you are with all what you were like when you were born, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the birth certificate may be signed by your parents, but that verification of facts wasn't.
Right.
And so it also doubles, and you can go put this in a search engine, it doubles as a merchant. We're in merchant law here, Babylonian merchant code, contract law. It doubles as an instrument in commercial law called a warehouse receipt. And a warehouse receipt has unusual characteristics. One is that when the good is put on one of these warehouse receipts, the warehouse receipt actually takes on the personality of the good, and the good takes on a very shadowy existence, like a bale of cotton. When you put a bale of cotton in a warehouse receipt, the warehouse receipt becomes the cotton. That's why they put it in a safe. Because now what they're doing is collateralizing your future income. Remember we mentioned early on bond?
Right.
It was bondage? Well, guess who's the collateral for the United States bonds? You and your birth certificate and your future income. How do they extract it? Through the income tax.
Right.
Okay. They do not make money out of thin air, and you do not have, unless you're one of these people, constitutional rights. You know any bankers that make huge loans like this without compound interest and collateral? I don't think so.
Right.
They don't make money out of thin air, and anybody that you hear says that phrase does not know what they're talking about, and they don't understand how the system works, and I don't care if it's Ron Paul. Lynn Wood. Sidney Powell. You mentioned Sidney Powell earlier. Who's this guy that's on with Alex? Barnes. Barnes. All these guys. All the top. Rudy Giuliani. All of his aides. Those are the top legal minds in our movement, wouldn't you say?
Well, they're certainly dealing with the election fraud and other stuff.
Well,
but yeah, they're bar licensed attorneys,
well,
and yes.
I mean, Sidney Powell was a federal prosecutor for a lot of years. Lynn Wood's biggest defamation attorney in the country. These aren't your average Joe Mill attorneys, and every one of them used that phrase, constitutional rights. Those people don't know what the scam is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not constitutional rights. If you want them, there's a bunch of extra pairs of them up there. I'm sure they'll be glad to give you because we've all turned them in. Okay, I don't want that civil rights crap. That's a shackle. I want God-given rights that I was meant to have at birth that empowers me and not makes me a slave. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So guess what? When you file one of these paperworks and you go back over and change under the common law, what happens is you get access to the common law. Uh-oh, there's music.
Oh, okay, there is music.
All right, now hold on, Ingrid. Access to the common law is where we're going out of this, and that's where we're
going. Absolutely, Absolutely. Okay, this is great. Stay tuned. You're listening to Roger Sales.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. You know, we just have a few minutes. He has so much to cover, our Mr. Roger Sales. He's so fascinating. So we decided that we aren't going to take callers, and you're encouraged instead to go to People's Patriot Network and tune in to a show, because he has pretty much an open forum, and you can listen to him and then ask questions. So if you want to, you know, learn more, I would suggest you get his book, and then you also, wow, you know, join Monday through Friday, which I'm going to start doing when I can. For me, it's like 8 to 10 in the morning, but if you're on the East Coast, it would be 11 to 1. So peoplespatriotnetwork.com.
Let me tell you, there have been some changes there. That still works, I think. But the server we're using is a network called eurofolkradio.com. eurofolkradio.com. Okay.
Really?
And yes. And we were always simulcasting over there, but there were some software programs, and the guy that set it up just doesn't have time to go back in and get it straight, so we just switched over to Eurofolk, so that's fine. I tried to start a network, quite honestly. We don't do commercials. We don't sell spots. We don't sell stuff. And it's just hard to get people to commit to doing a regular program. And without, you know, much compensation and everything else. And so we do it a little bit different because we don't do advertising and stuff and have an overhead, so we can do it real cheap, okay? And that way we don't have spots, so we can get into this stuff for two-hour segments and not have to be interrupted and lose that train of thought, which we've already experienced a couple of times here. So that's kind of different, but the way to listen to us, if you want to listen, is Eurofolk Radio, all strung together, eurofolkradio.com. Now, if you want to join us, you can do it. We use a platform called Jitsi. And what I'm going to say is I was going to promote before the end for the people, because we ain't no way we get to cover very much here tonight at all. Okay, we'll hit the high points best we can. But if you want more information, you can do an RBN host, a former RBN host, unfortunately, I hate to say, because she's a friend of mine, Deanna Spingola. I did a very, very good interview with her on February the 6th of this year. And you can go to Deanna's website, DeannaSpingolaSpeaks.com, I think. And that interview and these two documents are downloadable on there. Just put my name in a search engine. I believe they'll show up. I was on Deanna's show a number of times. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry to see she's not, you know, had to leave that because of her health. But we certainly understand and we wish her the best. All right. So now, otherwise, if at the bottom of those two documents, there's two of them. One is called How to Escape the Matrix, and it goes over a lot of the bullet points. It's only two pages, all right, of what we're going to cover here tonight. It took us 22 hours to write and condense those two pages with bullet points. It's not something you sit down and do easy, is compress all this stuff into something that concise, okay? At the back page on both of them, the other one is How to File a National Affidavit with or without a passport application. And at the bottom of both of those documents is all the contact information. If you want to get into this and it resonates with you, we've got 3 years of archives over at a site called castbox.fm. Put my show, Radio Ranch, in their search, and 3 years of shows are going to come up, and all this stuff's discussed. You know, even a brief description on each one of them. You can join us live, either with a phone number and a code, which you still got a little analog in there, and it's not as good a connection. And some people find they can't talk if they want to. But you can join us easily two ways digitally, either by using their app, Jitsi Meet, and putting PPN Studio in the search, or Eurofolk Radio, either one will work. And there's also an address you can put in and open a browser tab and join us that way straight, and it'll be digital. So there's a couple ways you can get to us. There's ways you can listen to us, and if you want to, you got all 3 years of archives back there. And so that's who we are, or how we're accessible. Let's go back to where we were about you accessing the common law. Because, see, all these people, since Oklahoma City, we've had all these common law grand juries. Well, what's happening is the serfs, like the serfs and 1,000 years of legal precedent in the feudal system, that's the system we're under, okay? And it's because of that birth thing, all right? And so the serfs are getting together, and they're going to have some sort of a proceeding and overthrow the lord of the manor. Well, that ain't going to happen. And that's why none of them have had any effect, because they're a bunch of serfs and they don't know how to get out of that. Now, we get 12 plus people in a county somewhere that have filed an affidavit and hopefully has a sheriff that understands. Well, now you got a common law grand jury with teeth, baby. Okay. Whole horse of a different color. It all depends on changing this status. The status is everything. None of those public policy things, the vaccinations you're so scared of, all the other crap, all that is public policy. It's not law. It's man-made law for the serfs. So the answer to that is don't be one of them, because you don't have to be. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. And maybe we should go, what you're doing is going back over and having access to the common law. We're leveling the playing field. You were talking about sports earlier. Well, we've been playing with music, and we came up with a little break music here. And I'm going to tell you about this game when we get back, okay?
Yeah, we all wanted to know how to invoke the common law by getting enough people to change their status would be great. So thanks, Roger.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Roger's going to just basically occupy the next 25 minutes,
we're going to drift back to that sports conversation here briefly.
Well,
for a second.
Common law. We're going to do common law, right?
Well, that's what I'm getting to, but we're going to do it with an analogy that's a sports analogy. Okay. And it is the feds come and ask us to play a game, win or take all. And we go, man, we got you guys. You know it. And so it's like in the spring, and it's basketball season, and so we're thinking it's basketball, see? And so the day of the game comes, we're all practiced up. We're out there in our little shorts, and we're doing layups. Every three-pointer we throw up there, nothing but net. Okay? And we're out there just knowing we're hot stuff, and all of a sudden, here come the feds. Okay. And the feds come on and they don't have the little Nike shorts and little shoes. They got these pads on and they got these black things, shoes on with this long piece of metal under them. They got a stick in their hand and they're throwing this little hardest steel thing around over 100 miles an hour. Ingrid, who you think's going to win that game?
Well, I would think that we are, huh? No?
Not hardly.
No?
Okay.
No,
and
I'm
that's
just
the
kidding.
Problem.
Go ahead. That is the problem.
We've been playing constitutional law, and they've been playing merchant law, and we're in a silent contract and don't know it, and we don't even know the game we're playing. Let me ask you this question. Can you tell me in the audience how much you know about the feudal system?
Most people don't know, and I don't know that much. I'm learning all the time, Roger.
Well, I asked a guy and a host on, and he said, absolutely nothing. Well, then how do you expect to recognize the system you're in? Because that's the system you've been born and raised in. It's that he called it the system. It's really the feudal system. They left out the adjective. Okay.
Right.
How did they bring the feudal system into the United States of America? With the 14th Amendment and those first three words, all persons born. Because that was one of the ways, the only system of law in the history of the planet where your status, political status, is assigned at birth according to where you're born, was the feudal system. And it was a super important ingredient of the feudal system. And the feudal system has 1,000 years of legal precedent. That's four times longer than the United States of America has been around.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking chopped chicken liver here. Okay, and it was one of the main elements of the feudal system because it helped the system perpetuate itself. The feudal system started as Rome broke down. The Goths and the Visigoths came in and started cutting off the roads between the big cities, especially as it went off into the Western Empire in Spain along the Riviera and all that stuff, right? And so as they cut off the roads, they would put the cities under siege. And the people that would escape out into the country where most of the land was owned by former Roman generals and congressmen, senators, that kind of stuff. And they'd go to him and say, please, please give us some protection, the Goths and the Visigoths. And he'd go, well, give me some allegiance and I'll give you some protection. How about that? So if you'll give me total allegiance and I'll give you total protection, we got a deal. And that means I got jurisdiction over you. Because if you're going to enter into that deal in our system, you're going to become my property. And therefore, you're going to do it in a ceremony. And it's a contract. And therefore, because your property, just like some of your neighbors, you got some ranchers that are around you out there in Idaho, don't you? They got cattle and stuff we talked about earlier. Well, when their bull and their cow get together and have a calf, whose calf is it?
Whose calf is it? Well, they're going to claim that they own
the ranchers.
They own your property.
Well,
the
exactly.
ranchers, I understand.
Yeah.
But if they're claiming you as their property, then everything
that's,
you own is going to be theirs.
And that's why their parents don't sign the verification of facts, because they've never rebutted the presumption that they're in the same condition and you're being born into the same condition under that presumption. Okay?
Right.
And it's generational and it's silent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silent contract. I didn't enter into any contract. Oh, you didn't, but you damn sure agreed to it every time they ask you and you signed something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what is going on is with that very important aspect of the feudal system, well, what's the saying? Once you get the camel's nose under the tent, well, now you got the whole camel in there, baby, okay? And it is the feudal system. And if you want to see what you are, you can go to Black's Law Dictionary and go back and look under a term called villain. We pronounce it villain. It's French because the continent of Europe had the feudal system long before England. It was brought over in 1066. And that's when the Anglo-Saxon common law changed to the English common law because Norman, the William the Conqueror, brought over the European common law, which included feudalism, and infused it into the English common law. Okay? So that's how that whole thing developed, all right? And the people, there was two types of serfs, or people in servitude. It's also referred to as the English variety of slavery, okay, by the old English jurists. And there was two varieties. There was an involuntary serf, and there was a voluntary serf. The involuntary serf was akin to the black slaves in the South. There was only one way they could get out of it, one way, ever. That's if they were a bastard. Because if they were a bastard, there's always a chance they were sired by the lord of the manor. Okay? Now, the other was the voluntary serf. And that's when times got bad in England. You had a couple of kids. You couldn't feed everything. And you go, well, I'll just go out to the lord and see if I can get me 40 acres and a mule. And so you'd go out and volunteer into the condition. They'd give you a plot of land. You actually gave him part of what you grew or raised or whatever else, and you were considered his property. You did so with a contract. It's a ceremony. It's called the Oath of Fealty. Oath of Fealty. F-E-A-L-T-Y. You can go look it up on the internet. You can go watch Monty Python's Holy Grail. They got one in there. Okay. And it was a contract. It was a public contract on the manor. And you, the incoming voluntary serf, would kneel and you'd put your hands above your head as if you're praying. The lord of the manor would stand over you, put his hands over your hands. There would be the other serfs of the manor around like witnesses to a contract. And you would give him this oath and you would pledge your body and your worldly goods to the lord of the manor. And until you undid that pledge, you were in that condition. If you want to go to Black's Law Dictionary, you can look it up under the word villain. It's spelled villein because it's European and French. V-I-L-L-E-I-N. We would pronounce it villain. There's a number of different categories there, several, but I would suggest you look under one called a villain regardant. A villain regardant. And the definition says, a villain attached to the land property and transferable by deed, like your bonds and your warehouse receipt. Now that's what's going on. Okay. Now that's the sobering truth. All right. The good news is it's real easy to get out of it because you could volunteer out at any time. And it didn't matter which generation you were in. You could volunteer out. Now, you didn't, as our patriot community does, try and go to some court proceeding and challenge jurisdiction. I got a great site, little site out of some case, and it says, unless the person can prove they're not a citizen of the United States, the IRS can move on to assessment and collections. How do you prove you're not a citizen of the United States? Well, there's only one way in this system, just like there was only one way to volunteer out of servitude. You got to go to the lord of the manor and do it, because he's the one you had the contract with, even if it was made originally by your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Okay, that's why this works. Okay, now we went to that page earlier and had you read that according to the INA, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. I'm going to cut through. There's a couple of things in between I would normally cover, and I'd prove to you. Well, I can give it to you. We don't have to cover it. If you go down underneath the body of the letter, they pull a sentence out of the INA, and it says, a national owes complete allegiance to a small s state. Well, we already know about allegiance and protection and allegiance, don't we? That's that's the basic points of jurisdiction. So in their legislation, if you're a national, you owe total allegiance to a small s state. The small s state owes you total protection, doesn't it? Well, there's your state citizenship right there.
Right.
Okay. Because two things down, it states federal. The federal citizen, and it's a capital S, and it gives you District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, etc. So there's your state citizen. They're hiding behind the non-citizen national American Samoan. You see how slick these boys are?
Oh, yeah.
These boys are slick as bus station chili, okay? And I'm dead serious. And the deeper and more you understand it, you're going to come to the same conclusion I did a long time ago, that there ain't no way some mortal man thought this up. They had a bunch of help from down below. Because you know why, Angry? Because freedom is God's plan, and slavery is Satan's plan, and there ain't no other plans.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Okay, so the good news here is you can get out of this very easy. What I'd like for you and the audience to do is scroll down to the very bottom of that document and read me, without the foregoing paragraph, because that's a bunch of smoke, read me the last sentence on that page, if you would.
Oh, I just let me go back up, because I actually got out of that link. But I have it. I have it. I went ahead and posted it. So let me just quickly go there. Patience.
Yeah, no problem.
I was looking at some of the other stuff that you have. I attempted to get your book, of course.
Well, I'm going to have you, while you're looking for it.
I have it right here.
I'm going to allow you to read the State Department's policy on how to exit their system. And I'm going to show you and have you read just how difficult this is.
It says, any person who becomes a citizen of the United States solely by virtue of the provisions.
Just read that last sentence on the end of
the last sentence. Oh, okay. So it said,
It's in quotations. There's just one paragraph.
The last thing it says, you know, you have to record as follows. I, Angry
Cat.
Your name, I guess, being duly sworn, hereby declare my intention to be a national, but not a citizen of the United States.
That's how hard it is to get out of this.
Right.
Now, I would add, under the scope and purview of the 14th Amendment, just because I like that phrase, and I like it to nail it down and rub their nose in it. Mm-hmm. And I would also change the jurat, called the penalty of perjury, to the one that is listed in the code. There's two, one within the United States and one without the United States. See, all these things are all over the place if you know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you'll never see it. Okay. And what's the difference between the within and without, the words of America? One says, I swear under penalty of perjury, the laws of the United States of America, everything following, you know, et cetera. The other one just says of the United States. That's the federal one. The other one's the national one. It says of America. So if you're out talking to people and you're trying to get this across, and I ask you this question, and you didn't know all this stuff like you do kind of now, Angry, I say, Angry, are you a citizen of the United States, or are you a citizen of the United States of America? And you'd look at me, if you were like a Boobus Americanus, you go, well, aren't those the same thing?
No, they are
not really. No, not kind of.
Well, the United States is the corporation, and the United States of America is a nation.
Right. And see, here's how you approach people. Instead of trying to fill them with all this confusing information, because I think you'll agree, it's very confusing. It's real simple, but it's very confusing the way they got it structured and the things that you didn't know and how you've been tricked, okay? Mm-hmm. But what you do is you present the equivocation to people, okay? Just like that. Are you a citizen of the United States, or are you a citizen of the United States of America? If you want to take and show them that sentence, those first 10 words, which is all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. And you go, well, like I did with you. Did you know you had a dual political status? No. Have you ever been asked if you were a national? No. If not, why not? Well, golly, I don't know. Well, maybe because they're asking you the leading question to get you to solidify your servitude and give them their power, which is what we've all done. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why does the Secretary of State has that very exclusive jurisdiction over this thing called citizenship? It is because he has always had responsibility of issuing passports. Mm-hmm. We've got an 1835 Supreme Court case. It's called Ubuntu v. DRC. 1835. It's very difficult for me to pronounce. I wouldn't even try it for a couple of years. And it says a passport is, now remember, this is 1835. There was only one status back then. There was only state citizens. There wasn't any 14th. So it, a passport is a ex parte document. I'm paraphrasing here. An ex parte document, I don't have it in front of me, that allows, under the law of nations, a person to travel from one country to another identifying who they are.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is an entirely different matter if it is on the fact of citizenship. And whatever papers the secretary has in his possession, if of a quality admissible in a court of law, should be considered the higher and better evidence. 1835.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we suggest you do is to take that one sentence, and without getting verbose, a lot of our people have studied law for years, and they want to show how right. much they've learned, and I'm sui juris, and popia persona, and I went a urinata over there, and all this other stuff. You don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You need to make this short and simple and rebut the presumption. It doesn't matter what statements you're making. What the one you want to make is one that rebuts the presumption that all this fraud was applied to you at birth and that you were tricked into agreeing with it. And mm-hmm. anything that does that accomplishes your goal. And why not use their own sentence? I would desire to be considered a national and not a citizen of the United States under the scope and purview of the 14th Amendment. You go down and find yourself a little notary at the bank, and you get them to notarize that thing. And now, when you send it in with or without a passport application, it gets into your administrative file. Once it's in your administrative file, if you're ever challenged in any kind of a court, which you never will be, but if you were, it's admissible in any court and bypasses the rules of evidence because it's in your folder in his possession.
Mm-hmm.
And they're never going to risk bringing that information into a courtroom. It's happened one time. It happened in reverse. One of my students got in a divorce. They call him a sovereign citizen, all this stuff. They file. They're having a child custody. They file the affidavit in their filings, so it's in their court filings. So now it's in evidence. He gets on the stand and starts reading the affidavit. What do you think the judge did? Don't read that document in this courtroom! Even though it was in the court evidence. So they don't want that information in any kind of open court. So all of you that are going, what if I get taken to court? You'll never get taken to court because that's the reason. So what you've done is now if you follow through on this, you've accessed the common law and we've leveled the playing field. They can't come play hockey on us with hockey rules anymore because we all know what the rules are. And now we can take the law and we can weaponize it just like they've been doing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And we do it by using the magical phrase due process. What is due process? Notice and the right to be heard. So
right.
now, once you've got it on file with the Secretary of State and you've fulfilled all that, you just notice everybody you want. You notice the IRS. You notice any of the more than 455 federal agencies that are out there. You even want to go in your state. You get to the Attorney General, and you send him a notice with a big cover letter. And at the top, it says notice to the principal's notice to the agent. Notice to the agent's notice to the principal. Please be advised, sir, this is on file with the Secretary of State of the United States. Please adjust your records accordingly. And you copy your sheriff, your police department chief, and your coroner, and your district attorney. And now
mm-hmm.
if anybody moves on you, they've stepped out of their delegated responsibilities and lost their cloak of immunity, and you can sue them personally for everything they've got.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Okay.
Wow, this is great.
Okay, so we can take very easily with that one sentence and turn this whole thing on its head. If we get enough people that understand it, get enough courage, get the information to start the empowerment process, or it may be them people that like was in the movie Network, remember? The guy, Howard Beale, wasn't that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And he put his head out and said, I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it anymore.
That's correct.
I don't care about learning the information. This makes total sense to me. I'm going to file this SOB and I'm going to be free and I'm going to teach other people and I'm going to go rub some people's noses in it. Okay? Because you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And those of you who are skeptical think this doesn't work, let me promise you, you're wrong. Okay? I don't care whether it comes to buying a firearm. And what we advise people do, and I just learned this recently, really, is you don't have to go pay $140 for a passport book. With all this COVID crap and the curtailment on the traveling, you're probably not going to be doing much international traveling. And that's what that passport book's for. And you can pay $30 and get a passport card with this paperwork. And now you've got a government, the highest form of government ID linked to your new status. And it reflects it. Because I've got guys that drive with nothing but their passport card. And they get stopped and give it to the officer. He goes back and checks it, comes back and said, "You ought to carry a driver's license with you. Have a nice day." Okay? I've got two people that's happened to. One of them in two states, North Carolina and Virginia, both. So just because you don't think this works doesn't mean it doesn't.
Right.
Okay? And let me tell you, they're still recognizing these submissions because they've got to, and they're still sending out that passport. And that tells you this still works. And you see, I get the question, well, what happens when it doesn't work, like Bolshevik Russia, okay? Right? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when we get to that point, Roger? Well, I guess we all know what time it is and what we need to do then, don't we?
Right. Okay. Well, we only have less than 2 minutes. So,
Let me give this out real quick. If you don't want to go to Deanna's, if you don't want to go to Deanna's website, Spingola Speaks, you can access that stuff tonight. You can send me an email. I'm going to give out my email, the network, my show's email address. If you'll send me an email and put Matrix Docs in the subject, I'll send you the two documents and a copy of the Spingola interview if that's what you want. Okay, and it's Radio Ranch, all one word. It's two words, one word. No space, Radio Ranch at mail@mail.com. Matrix Docs in the subject line. I'll shoot them back to you. That's now, what I got some of my guys doing is taking that Spingola interview because it was really so good, okay, and making copies of those and having small meetings, 8-10 people, and putting it on their cell phone with the speaker and playing that two-hour interview with Deanna and handing them those pieces of paper. Okay, and you can follow the bouncing ball. It's very understandable. If you're one of the people that's supposed to hear this, you'll get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well,
thank
I definitely
you, Minka,
get it
for having me. Thank you, sweetie.
I'm very impressed, and I want to follow through. I'm looking at doing your show, and I was looking a little bit on your website, and you have it right there. When you click on the book, you have a couple affidavits. One for 13th Amendment citizens, one for 14th Amendment citizens, pretty much, you know, white and African-American.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you have two of these sample affidavits to send your State Department.
Yeah,
they're really spelled out.
What we've learned, is it doesn't make any difference because of what you read. All U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. It doesn't matter what your color is, how you got it, whether you're naturalized, born at birth, or whatever. See, I've learned a lot as we've gone forward from what I used to know. And I really understand what they've done now and why it's so important to get out of it. Thank you, sweetie. I hear music.
Okay.
It's been great.
I
really appreciate
too,
it.
But yeah,
I will
go through so you can update that part of your website that we're all the same on this. That'd be great. Okay. Thank you so much, Roger. You're awesome. I love it. I got to get your book.
It changes people's lives.
Okay. Thank you so much. Everyone was very into the show.
Okay.
So
ciao.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.